Welcome to our latest instalment of the Commercial Risk series of Risk Leader podcasts. This one relates to the Firma Forum held in Copenhagen in October. Zurich held a session at the forum on diversity, inclusion, and equity. So this is an ideal opportunity to explore how the event and discussions with clients went at the forum and to learn in more detail what Zurich is doing around diversity, inclusion, and equity. My name is Liz Booth, and I'm going to moderate this session. We have with us Peter Davis, Head of Distribution EMEA at Zurich, and also Penny Seach, Chief Underwriting Officer EMEA at Zurich. Penny is going to be assuming the role of Group Chief Underwriting Officer from January the 1st, 2023. So congratulations to you on that, Penny. But in the meantime, let's get on with our questions. Peter, I wonder if you can start us off and actually explain what is diversity and inclusion, and more importantly, what is equity?
Hi, absolutely. So I think diversity and inclusion, or D&I as we often say, are concepts that are pretty broadly known across the industry. So diversity for me is around bringing different people together, bringing different people into our organizations. And when we say different, of course, that could be across any number of different personal characteristics or background, education. Inclusion, I always say, is about the culture that you create within the organization. But equity is the newer concept that we talk about now in the D&I universe. And equity, for me, is very much around how do you enable those people that you've brought into an organization to be the very best that they can. And it really stretches across into development, career, everything that relates to each individual, and across every single person that works within an organization. So equity for me is really the forefront of where you start to deliver everything that D&I should bring to an organization across the whole people landscape.
So in that case, what initiatives is Zurich focused on in respect of diversity, equity, and inclusion?
So for us, we've taken a really clear culture position on this, and it's very much driven both top down and bottom up. So top down, from, as I say, the very top of the organization, of course, diversity, equity, and inclusion is taken within the way that we approach everything. So we have very clear statements around what D&I means for us at Zurich, and those are published statements. It's also part of what every employee and colleague reviews annually when we go through our code of conduct training, which is all about how we as Zurich do business. And the bottom up is, you know, if I give an example perhaps of our employee resource groups. So we've got global employee resource groups that are dedicated to a number of different strands of D&I. So LGBT plus through our Pride network, for example, our women's network. But we're also trying to stretch, you know, perhaps beyond the more traditional elements of D&I. So we have an intergenerational group next, which is where we try to bring together voices from really across the organization and across the different age spectrums to make sure that we can bring different ideas to the fore in terms of how we do business, how we plan for business, and quite simply how we just bubble up some of the differences that we have across the organization for the benefit of everything that we're doing. And then the other side for us is we very actively engage in external organizations, not-for-profits, benchmarking, anything really that can support us in the way that we are thinking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so one example of that would be Stonewall, which is an LGBT plus group that we work with globally. And indeed, we're named as one of the small number of top global employers, which is off the back of some annual analysis that's done by Stonewall to help us understand where are we performing well, but equally where are there areas where we could perhaps think about diversity and inclusion from a different perspective. And we work with those external groups not for them to tell us what we should be doing, but to help us think about how can we really make a difference, both for our employees, but I think for us the really important piece here is it goes right the way to how do we create the best experiences for all of our customers throughout the organization.
Thank you. Penny, I wonder if we can turn to you and sort of make this a bit more personal. What does DE&I mean to you personally?
Yeah, Liz, thank you. So, you know, I'll start off and I'll tell it's a really simple story, and I get that it's not a very exciting story, but to be very frank, it's one that's probably had the most impact in terms of really bringing D&I alive for me. It was when I first joined Zurich. I was new into the organization, and Zurich at the time was running a leadership program across the region. And being the newbie in the room, I didn't know anyone. So I went along, and within 5 minutes of the program starting, the facilitator said, right, we're going to play a game, right? And you all have to go off to your individual corners with a piece of paper, and you are about to be dropped off and left alone on an island or by yourself, and you have to survive until someone rescues you or you can get rescued, and you're allowed to take 5 items with you, right? So off we all go and we all choose our items, all very clear and very proud of the fact that, you know, we're going to do this, right? We're going to survive. So we come back into the room and the facilitator then pairs us off into or puts us into groups of people. And the challenge was then, as a group of people, you then need to mutually agree, which are the items that you are going to take as a group, that same challenge, right? And so we did that as a group and we came up with an answer, and then we all went back into the room. And what we didn't know is that, first of all, there actually is a real answer. So whilst this is a game, there actually is the correct things that you need to take with you to survive. And what then happened was there were 2 scores that were then put up. So one was our individual score, and then the other one was a group score. And long story short, at the end of the day, everyone individually, when they looked at their individual score, there was not one individual in the room who had a higher score than their group score. And for me, that was absolutely and deeply fascinating. And, you know, and so obviously asked a lot of questions and wanted to understand that more. Now, the fact is that more often than not in that environment, the group score will be higher than the individual scores. And the reason for that is because of the mix of people that you are bringing into the environment that come in with an open mind, with their own experience, and with the, you know, with the ability to actually listen and engage and come to a collective outcome as a group. And so for me, that's incredibly powerful because that's what diversity is, right? Diversity is the mix, so the mix of people that we had there. But inclusion, so the power of the individual voices listening and engaging with each other and bringing their individual experiences to the table, that for me is inclusion, right? And it was about making the mix of experience and the mix of personalities work. I know that's a long story, but for me, it's always been front and center. So I've always said, right, if I want the best outcome, then having a mix of people who are bringing different perspectives to the table is absolutely critical. It also is a case of utilizing to the utmost all of the resources that we have available. So fully using the power of our people and our people resource. For me, this is just it's absolutely such a critical imperative to be successful, to be able to attract talent, to be able to remain relevant, both within the organization, so the ability to bring people into the organization, but also to remain relevant for our customers in terms of the propositions and the things that we're developing for them. So that for me, in quite a long-winded way, is what D&I really means for me.
Thank you. I mean, I think everybody has a personal story around it, and it was really interesting to hear yours there. I know most people are familiar with the reasons why companies should embrace this. And we do hear, don't we, quite a lot about the fact that it is going to pay dividends financially if you can do this, because you bring that diversity in and you get different views, perhaps challenging some of the norms. So I'm wondering if you can remind us what some of those proof points are I don't know, Penny, do you want to start us off on that one?
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't just an insurance, this is a sort of a general industry sort of numbers that we have, right? But we have seen that companies in the top quartile of performance, where the organization has a strong gender mix, they are 21% more likely to outperform their industry's mean, right? And where they have racial diversity as a true mix, they're 33% more likely to outperform, again, their industry's mean. So, I mean, it's industry agnostic and geography agnostic. So I think it's quite a powerful proof point.
And this came up in another discussion, another panel I was on recently, where we were discussing should employers focus more on new talent or on seasoned talent or seasoned workers? And I said, actually, be careful about how we talk about this. This is about, you know, how do we make best use of the talent that we already have in some of our organizations? In one of our countries, a couple of years ago, we made what seemed like a really small difference. On all of our job adverts, internal and external, we added the words part-time, job share, or full-time. So seemingly really simple words. And part of what we were thinking about when we were doing that was how can we create an environment, particularly for women, for mothers who perhaps have stepped away temporarily from the workplace to look after children. How can we really have a focus to get some of those individuals back into the organization? Just by adding those words, we saw the number of part-time hires that we made double in a really short period of time in the first year. And the really great thing was it was not just about women. We had a huge number of people come forward and say, actually, this makes things a lot easier for me. I've got caring responsibilities. I've got personal development, perhaps, that I'm following, and therefore I can't devote myself to a full-time role. But what it really enabled us to do was tap into another group of talent that otherwise might have been put off from applying for those roles when they were just assumed to be full-time. And I love that example because it's such a simple change to make, but it really enabled us to, as I say, reach into a different group of people, and particularly to bring back some talent into Zurich and into the industry that perhaps we might otherwise have missed. We could go on for hours. I'm sure Penny and I have got lots and lots of examples that we could give, but between the numbers that Penny gave and that little example I gave, I think hopefully that's quite powerful for reason as to why D&I is so important.
Absolutely. And I do remember a while back, well, actually during COVID, speaking to a lady who was disabled and who'd never been able to kind of fulfill her career because she couldn't travel into work. And the COVID epidemic and the lockdowns meant that suddenly she was of more value and she found a job, and hugely satisfying for her, but also the company did benefit from her experience too. So you're so right, we all have a story. I wonder whether, when you're talking to others from across the insurance industry, what are the topics that people are focused on? Again, Penny, do you want to start us off on that one? And then Peter, I'm sure you'll have something to add.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the one that comes up the most is around recruitment. So, you know, how as an industry are we able to be of interest and attract individuals with diverse backgrounds? The insurance industry is, like all industries, changing so quickly. So being able to not only attract individuals that are more representative of the communities and, you know, the communities in which we are engaging with, but also that's, you know, has the ability to bring in a new skill set for us. If we think of things around climate change, you know, emerging risk, there's a lot of things going on in that space.
And actually, Penny, I think I'm right in saying that we've just recruited 100 plus climate specialists into the organization, working across a number of different parts of Zurich as climate becomes more and more a key focus area for us. So yeah, you know, going out and looking for people with different skill sets as well as those different backgrounds is all part of this D&I journey. I think sticking with that recruitment theme and thinking to some of the conversations we were having at the Firma conference, I think people are really trying to experiment and think about what are the different changes that you can make in the recruitment process to make sure that you create an environment where you can recruit for the best. And I remember one of the discussions we had was around CVs. So I think a lot of companies now are trialing various different levels of what is known as blind CVs. So that could be with names removed. It could be with, you know, quite a lot of information removed from a CV. One of the things that we've tried in one of the Zurich countries when recruiting for apprentices, for example, is actually and allow our HR function to do a first review of the CVs, but actually for those who are undertaking the interviews, to not have any CV in front of you. And we've actually taken that one step further. Make sure there's two interviewers in the room and preferably from two different parts of the organization. It just enables you to have a slightly different and richer conversation rather than going from what's on the page in front of you. And I think if we're honest, you know, we talk a lot about unconscious bias in D&I. I like to try and push people to say we also have a lot of conscious bias, and even amongst those of us who try day in day out to be D&I supporters and promoters, I think, you know, the conscious bias can quickly slip in, especially during a recruitment phase. But then I think part of the other conversation that I hear quite a lot is, you know, and it goes back to the equity point that I made earlier on. It's not just recruitment. Once we've got people in, we really have to focus on career development. And, you know, lots of ideas around that. But I think for all organizations, having really deep succession planning, really spending the time to think about, okay, who have we got as talent across our organization? And what is the gap for some of those individuals from their current experience to where we need to get them to for that succession planning? If you then take that forward into a development conversation and really, really focus on how do we help people move forward in their careers that works for them, but also means that we're, you know, benefiting the organization and indeed, of course, the wider insurance and risk industry, then. And I think that can only be a good thing. So yeah, recruitment, huge topic, but I think I just, you know, use the opportunity of this podcast to remind people it's not just about getting people into organizations. We also need to make sure that we really think about how we develop our people and deliver the best for them and for our organizations.
And so, Peter, that just reminds me, and you know, I love the example. We were speaking to one of our customers and they were talking about how they create an inclusive work environment. And one of the small things that they do, but again, I thought it was really impactful, is that when they have a meeting and there'll be, you know, quite a few people in the meeting and they need to come to a decision, they will start with the most junior person in the room, and the most junior person will then give their view on, you know, what they think the output should be or what they think the decision should be. And then they will work their way around the table based on seniority. So the person who's the most senior in the room is the person who speaks last. And the whole point of that was not to put people on the spot, but to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to allow their voice to be heard without the bias of, well, the most senior person in the room, once they've spoken, then it's almost like that line in the sand is being drawn. So something really simple, but I thought that's, you know, a really effective tool.
Simple often works best, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I just had one final question for you. I'm just wondering, Peter, how does this link to the Firma conference theme for 2022?
So transitioning together, of course, was the theme. And whilst we've spoken a lot around, you know, how do we create that diverse inclusive and equitable environment from an organization perspective. I think for me, this goes back to our industry is changing. The risks we face and our clients face is changing. That means we need different skill sets, which inevitably means that we need different people. The great thing about the risk and insurance industry is we touch everything that's happening in the world. Sometimes the solutions are easier and sometimes the solutions are more challenging. But for me, this is, you know, at the very heart of how do we make that transition jump together? And it could be climate transition. It could be everything that's shifting in the way that we now work from a technology and digital perspective. But the reality is we need the workforce for the future and we need the best people to really make this industry thrive. So I think for me, that's, you know, yes, D&I incredibly important, but it becomes absolutely pivotal when you think about transitioning together into the future.
Thank you so much. I think that's a really good note to end on. So all I have to do now is to say thank you to Peter and to Penny for joining us today. I really enjoyed listening to you both, and I'm sure our audience will as well. Thank you very much indeed, and goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.